Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, Erev Tov, my dear, and we thank you for coming to our table, where we are truly blessed to serve you the meat of our faith, Hebrews 5:14. For you, as a more mature Christian, no longer need the milk, preferring to chew on solid food. Now let us give him great thanks for our salvation.
Abba, Father, thank you for sending us your Son, Yeshua, the only way to salvation. You are our true Redeemer, our Alpha and Omega, and soon reigning King over all the earth. We are grateful for your many indicators that point to your soon return. May your word empower us and keep us strong, resisting the enemy that raises its fist against your bride. We pray protection for soldiers and the release of all the hostages still in Gaza. And we plead the blood of Jesus over our unsaved loved ones so they too can experience that genuine peace regardless of any situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. So, before we get to Israel, let me say that the hottest news on Fox Cable is what they are calling the greatest assault and attempted coup by the deep state. The good news is it's finally coming into the light about their criminal conspiracy and will go down as the biggest political scandal in the history of the United States.
For sure.
I hope they are held accountable and penalties implemented.
Well, you know, they hurt a lot of people.
Oh, they did. Think of the many who falsely went to jail. And General Flynn, who they bankrupted, he lost everything, even his house.
Anyway, God will sort that all out just as he does with Israel.
Oh, yes, he will. Everything at the right time and in the right season, which seems to be winding down as Israel continues to work its way through the final areas of Gaza, with some terrorists last week surrendering from one of the tunnels.
The IDF is now grilling them to help find the remaining hostages.
It's so sad to think how they have suffered so terribly.
Yeah, I saw the pictures, and they're just skin and bones.
So pray for their release, as Israel is aggressively picking up its infiltration now. And then those are those countries in the UN which are seriously calling for a Palestinian state, which just encourages Hamas with even hailing Jerusalem as their capital.
Which is why they ignore any ceasefire deal.
Right. They believe by using their psychological propaganda of starvation, they are winning in the eyes of the UN, and right now they are.
Yeah, the aid is there. It's Hamas who steal it from the people.
Yes, even if initially gets into the hands of the Palestinians, the Hamas then robs them at gunpoint by the time they return to their families.
And the Russian war continues.
It does, because even with stronger sanctions, they have other countries who will still buy their oil, as in China, Iran, North Korea. And the biggest buyer is India, who Trump has strongly suggested they not do.
Which is why the tariffs have not been settled yet.
Except Trump has now raised them in India, who say they will continue to buy from Russia as they don't think the United States should have that kind of power over them. But really, it's because they buy it cheap from Russia and sell it on the open market as in a huge profit.
We welcome your end time questions either by email to shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is received with much gratitude. Any correspondence will add you to our monthly newsletter list. You can also bless us with your gift of love on shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure.
All right. Coming on August 17th, real soon, we enter the 12th and last month called Elul on the Hebrew civil calendar, or the 6th month on their religious calendar, which begins the yearly season of Teshuvah. Now, some of you that are newer believers to the concept of Hebrew roots might be thinking, why do we as Christians need to know this?
Or why study any of our Hebrew roots at all?
And many do say that. But they are really missing out on what we call the dot connectors of the deeper truths of God.
So, how should we answer?
Well, first and foremost is because Jesus was Jewish. Therefore, he is our roots.
Romans 11 says we've been grafted in among the Jews.
Exactly. You know, when I attended Catholic school as a child, our faith was called Judeo-Christianity. And somewhere along the way, Judea was dropped. Anyhow, after I became born again, and certainly led by the Holy Spirit, I began searching to learn more about my first century Jesus.
Who was Jewish.
And I say first century because later on, especially during the Dark Ages, changes were made to Orthodox Judaism. And some valuable teachings were being ignored, while continuing to add more man-made traditions that Jesus never liked or did.
As in wearing the yarmulke.
Right. Or breaking the glass at a wedding, and other things that was added much later. So should you want to do a more accurate study, stick to the first century.
Which we do.
You know, there is a lengthy 4-volume book series that I learned a lot from called Judaism in the First Century by George Foote Moore.
And use as your foundation the appointments of the Lord.
Yes, as outlined in Leviticus 23 that we go over every year while incorporating the idiomatic expressions of their day.
Which we also cover a lot.
There are the two most important areas to enhance your study.
Yeah, especially in the area of eschatology.
For sure. Honestly, you will not correctly understand end time prophecy without this knowledge. In fact, Messianic Jewish-born teachers of today still have to, or certainly should, study their first century roots because their father or grandfather often did not, and instead were often handed down family traditions that were added after Jesus. Now, some call it Reform Judaism, but remember, many of their ancient books were burned during the Dark Ages.
But God took care of that, as we now have the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yes, and that wasn't found till 1947, which kicked off the last generation of 80 years, according to Psalm 90, and to increase our knowledge. Daniel 12, verse 4.
Also in the Dead Sea Scrolls were the writings of Enoch.
And most all of the early patriarchs, whose writings Noah carried on the ark and lived long enough to hand, even personally, to Abraham, that we are so grateful were found, and no doubt by divine inspiration.
Without question.
It is so very obvious that God intended for his last generation to find them. So, just an FYI, I started teaching on our Judeo-Christian roots back in the 90s. And let me tell you, as a Gentile and a woman, I was pretty alone back then.
Yeah, Hebraic roots was seldom taught.
Unless it was legalistic, like you can do no work on the Sabbath, and much more. But now, finally, other Christian teachers are including these truths in what we call just basic Christianity 101. But we must also say, don't allow it to become overwhelming. Keep your journey simple so to enjoy the ride.
And be sure to check out our webpage.
All right, because between all the teaching letters and archived radio programs, you can glean just about everything of what any Bible student basically needs to know, especially if eschatology is your major.
Which in these last days it should be.
And we can't stress enough how his seven appointments that God intentionally organized, actually for the whole world, are very important for proper hermeneutics and gives a solid connection to his gospel, where we read that Jesus fulfilled in amazing detail his first four appointments, and very soon, this year or next, will fulfill his final three fall appointments as well.
Of course. I mean, why wouldn't he?
Exactly. But sadly, the main reason we are hearing different versions of eschatology is because many are lacking in this basic understanding of our Hebrew roots,
thereby often misinterpreting important pieces of information,
especially with idiomatic terms and phrases used within Scripture. Let me say it again. If you have accepted the Jewish Messiah into your heart, you have been adopted into his family, making us as well the heirs of his promises.
Proving the appointments are meant for us too, you know, not just the Jews.
Particularly their fulfillment. And to get specific, therefore the unsaved as well. For if we share these truths with the unsaved, many more would get saved.
And we know that is a fact.
To do. So use them for a witnessing tool, and at least they could be a tribulation saint.
Amen.
Oh, and this too is important. Always be sure to stay balanced. Never, ever, ever get legalistic, because the reason for the law was to be a tutor,
to better realize their need for a Savior,
thereby longing for their Messiah, who would come to fulfill the law.
Yeah, read Galatians, especially chapter 3 this week.
Oh, amen. With all that said, know this. Because of Jesus, nothing has to be done on our part, only to learn why, thereby increasing your knowledge of him and to see more clearly the entire plan of God and of who he really is, which then, of course, brings you into a very rewarding, much closer relationship, which should be all our goals.
Unfortunately, many are too sluggish to learn.
That's a good term to use, sluggish. And lazy, which was prophesied would be the case of the end-time church called Laodicea of Revelation 3.
Okay, back to Teshuvah.
Yes, so what knowledge should we glean from this season?
Well, the word means to return.
Yes, by repenting, especially for not being as close to the Lord as one should. Now, tell me the church wouldn't benefit from adhering to this season, if only as a reminder. So, on the Hebrew 360-day lunar calendar, Teshuvah always begins on Elul 1, which on our Gregorian solar calendar this year, 2025, begins on August 17th at sundown and continues for 40 days to Yom Kippur.
The Day of Atonement.
Yes. The Jewish people observe the first 30 days differently than the last 10, where the first 30, the shofar is sounded daily along with special pre-dawn prayers for forgiveness. And on the 30th day, also called the last trump, 100 blasts are blown. Then, at the sound of the last trump blown, ushers in the new year on the Feast of Trumpets.
Or Rosh Hashanah, meaning head of the year.
And this grand feast is celebrated for 2 days and was believed during Jesus' day and still today by many more religious Jews that some year the resurrection would occur on one of these 2 days. And no one knows which day or hour, which is another common phrase used for this Feast of Trumpets. And we'll cover all this again in 2 weeks when we begin the teachings on the fall feasts.
But Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world.
More specifically, the birthday or creation of Adam,
which began their first or civil calendar on Tishri 1.
What's really cool is that Paul actually wrote it down for us that some year the resurrection/rapture will happen at the last trump. which, as we said, is an idiom used for Rosh Hashanah, when the last trumpet is blown.
1 Corinthians 15:51.
So, we went over all that to bring you to the question. Don't you think the month before this possible resurrection just might call for some introspection? Maybe?
Well, they certainly did.
And the Orthodox still do today. Now, of course, as born-again Christians, all our sins are covered by the blood. But thinking that maybe the resurrection might happen in some fall season might get you a little excited the month before, especially since James 5 confirms that fact as well.
Right when the harvests come in.
And there are a few examples of God actually chastising his people more during this season called Teshuvah,
as a warning to turn more towards him.
For instance, we know that God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh to seek their repentance during Teshuvah, giving them the 40 days to repent. Also, Teshuvah corresponds to the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai repenting to God for Israel's golden calf incident, then returning on the Day of Atonement,
called Yom Kippur, with the new set of tablets.
Also, in Daniel's account of Babylon's handwriting on the wall, according to historical accounts, happened during Teshuvah. And by connecting the dots, we can see that when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was proclaiming for all the people to repent.
And that was the first day of Teshuvah.
Yes, for Jesus then went into the wilderness to pray repentance for the people and to prepare for his ministry that would begin on his 30th birthday, just 5 days after Yom Kippur, on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, it was a Jewish law that a man could not enter his ministry until he was 30.
And he scrupulously adhered to it so we would benefit by the knowledge of our Jewish roots. Again, never lose sight that all this was purposely prearranged and set up by God as to how it will be. He is very exact and precise in everything he has set forth to happen for our learning in today's world. As Paul said in Romans 15:4,
whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Now, the Greek word for hope is elpis, number 1680, which really means confidence. It should never have been translated as hope, conveying unsuredness. Another Teshuvah example is in Haggai verse, starting right off verse 1, where he right away makes sure the reader knows it was on the first day of the sixth month on their religious calendar that they were told to use from Exodus in chapter 12.
Which is Elul 1, the first day of Teshuvah.
So to be sure to read the book of Haggai, and you'll see that they truly needed to turn more toward God, for they knew of him, but were not moving toward him.
We need to think about that on a personal basis.
Right. Do you know him, but are comfortable staying where you are and not growing closer to him? Have you heard the statement, if you are not moving forward, it's the same as going backward? I cannot say this enough. Nothing in his word is there by accident. He purposely tells us what season it is for a reason. But many just read right over it because, sadly, many tend to shy away from his Jewishness, not really caring to learn some simple, basic tenets of our faith. And don't tell me, as some do, that our Hebraic roots is not in the New Testament, when in fact the entire writing of John's Gospel is surrounded by all the feasts.
And the New Testament was penned by Jews.
Interesting that even the Catholics do Teshuvah. They just changed the name to Lent and moved it to the spring to remember his first coming. Jews do it in the fall in expectation of his second coming.
Well, you know, another example is in Ezekiel 8.
Yes, where once again God makes sure we know that it's the sixth month when he has shown Israel's idolatry in the temple, along with all manner of abominations, even amongst the elders, hiding in the dark like God couldn't see them. God then says, I will now act in my fury. So in chapter 9, during Teshuvah, the wicked are slain, but not the righteous who had a seal of protection. And of course, that's a type of what happens in Revelation, where the 144,000 sealed ones of the 12 tribes of Israel will receive salvation immediately after our rapture and are then set apart for protection just before he unseals the scroll in Revelation 5, starting the final judgment. So Ezekiel 8:9 is a great read for typology, and I'll leave you with this. Think of Elul as the final preparation month just before your wedding. Of course, this preparation is not physical and material in nature, but rather spiritual. Like a New Year's resolution, get closer to your soon coming king. And here's a gold nugget. The Hebrew letters for Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, and Lamed, is an acronym for the words Ani Lo Dodi Vi Dodi Li, taken from the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine.
That's Elul.
Also, on a good note, according to traditional Jewish thought, Elul can also be a time when God's people find particular extra favor with him due to his judgment on their enemies, as we read in Nehemiah 6. So, Teshuvah can be a time for reprimanding his people or a time to reprimand their enemies. And it is interesting, when looking back at history, many significant events do happen in August and September, as in 9/11 and, of course, lots of hurricanes. During Teshuvah, Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 is often quoted that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return, which is Teshuvah, to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. They blow the shofar during Teshuvah as a wake-up call to be alert. And also on your own, read Ephesians 5, because it talks about waking up the sleeper. So, do you need to repent for the sin of omission, for not spending enough time with him in his word? Teshuvah is a good time to really look inward. Unless, of course, you can say, oh, no need. My life and my home are completely in order, and my relationships are exactly as God would have them. Really? Who can say that? Use this month of Elul to get closer to him. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And if you are not saved, time's a wasting. Receive him now. Don't be foolish, and therefore set yourself up for that great deception that's coming. So Teshuvah to the Lord before it's too late. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, and he's asking you, why won't you accept my free gift that I give to you? Good question. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And by the way, we're off next week, and we will replay the many rapture scriptures to prepare us for the fall feast. So until then, have a good week, and shalom to all. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.